Well, good morning, everyone. I understand you had quite a party last night, so, yeah. Well, I'd like to share some important statistics with you this morning. Avoid riding in automobiles because they are responsible for 20% of fatal accidents. I'm just getting started, okay? Do not stay home because 17% of all accidents occur in the home. Avoid walking on streets or sidewalks because 14% of all accidents occur to pedestrians. Avoid traveling by air, rail, or water because 16% of all accidents involve these forms of transportation. Of the remaining 33%, 32% of all deaths occur in hospitals, so by all means, avoid hospitals. But, and here's the good news, you will be pleased to learn that only 0.001% of deaths occur in worship services in churches. Therefore, logic tells us that the safest place for you to be at any given point is in church. Well, that's a lot of humor. But the truth is, there's a lot of fear right now for our safety and our security. Fear over what's going on in the world. Fear of another terrorist attack. Fear of now so many groups right now in the country who are upset and angry. Fear over some civil unrest. Fear over who might win the election, whatever side you're on. Fear. And it's very real. Very, very real. We spend billions of dollars in our country every year to be safe. That figure shocked me when I researched that. Between security systems in homes, alarms in cars, airport security, corporate security, all the other things that we do to be safe. Billions of dollars. But we know, of course, that even doing that, that things happen. So where is a safe and secure place? Because we all need to feel safe and secure, don't we? It's very difficult to move through life not feeling safe and secure. After 9/11, a stockbroker in New York City who worked very close to the towers decided after that tragedy that he was going to take his family and moved to Maine, a place that they had wanted to live for a long time, because he believed that he could be safer there, that his family could be safer there as well. So he quit his job. He moved the family to Maine. They opened up a little bread and breakfast, and life was wonderful. He felt safe and secure every morning he got up. And then his daughter became ill. Everything changed. All that wonderful safety that he felt kind of went out the window. So in order to pay the medical bills, he had to go to work again. So he went back to work on Wall Street, working as a stockbroker. And he traveled back and forth every day, spent very little time with the family because he was always getting to and from work. And he said one day on that train, it finally dawned on him, the only place to be safe is right here. So he took his family back to New York, got the same place they left with. And he said it was a wonderful lesson to him. Never looking out here for safety, but knowing where it truly is. I had a church in New Jersey, Teaneck, right across the Hudson River from Manhattan. It was my first church. I was there 3 years. And I started there 6 months after the attack of the towers, 9/11. The congregation was still very fragile and very fearful, very anxious. So as the anniversary of that began to get closer and closer, people became more anxious, more fearful. And I remember praying a lot. How can I minister to this congregation? We would have prayer meetings in church to try to alleviate some of the fear and the anxiety. And then I began to meet with other ministers in the area. And we began to talk about what could we do to help our congregation. Because you see, not only was it their fear, but the news media, as we got closer to the anniversary, that's all they talked about. And we know how the news can get on a subject and beat it to death, right? That's all they talked about. So they stirred that fear and anxiety. And they even told people, you need to have a kit to be careful, to be safe. Put plastic on your windows so if there is a gas attack, you'll be okay. Like plastic is really going to help anything? Have enough water, have this, have that. So as a group of fellow ministers got together and started talking again about how can we minister to our congregation right now, we started talking about different things that are important to people to feel safe and secure. And so what I'm going to do right now is ask the ushers to hand out a little kit that we've put together. And this is going to kind of explain what we came up with to help our congregants. Again, we looked at the kits that the news media told everybody to have. Plenty of water and canned goods and this and flashlight and this and that. But knowing no matter how you prepare, bad things can happen sometimes. So asking, where again does our security, our safety come from? It comes from in here. It comes from our living and moving and having our being in spirit. So I'm going to ask that you not look at those right now, okay? In a minute? Okay. So one of the husbands of one of the ministers said, you know, I've got an idea. We need to put a kit together that makes sense for people that can really help them. And then he asked us all, well, what is the most important things we need in order to feel safe and secure? And someone said, well, knowing that God's listening to us, that there's communication between us. And the other was knowing that we are being led and guided by Spirit all the time. And then someone else said, it's important that we trust that we are living and moving and having our being in spirit. And then someone else said, we also need to remember that we were created in love and are sustained in love. Well, bingo, we had our kit. So now you can look at your kit. Okay. So we made these, putting a heart. Well, first of all, a bell, which represents, whenever we hear a bell, we represents hearing. A candle, which represents light and guidance. A heart, which represents God's love. And on the back, Deuteronomy 31:8. Now, sometimes I put the prayer for protection, and sometimes I put this in here. But I love this verse from Deuteronomy. It says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And then the last is the penny, which has the beautiful words, in God we trust. In God we trust. So we all took these back to our congregations. And I have to tell you, over the years, when anything is going on in the country that's very fearful, I make more of these. I've probably given thousands of these away at different churches where I've spoken. And although it may seem like a small thing, it's great because it points us to the truth. And that's what any ritual or any precious object does. That's the purpose of it. So then as we gave those out and had discussions that Sunday afterwards and talked about what it really means when we say that God hears us, that there is this open communication. You know, our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, when he wrote about God, when he wrote about spirit, always wrote about it in terms of indwelling. We know that, that God lives and moves and has its being in us, that we are an expression of God, that we are the Christ, each and every one of us. But at the same time that God is indwelling, that God is transcendent, that we are a part of God, but not the totality of God. And that's always comforting to me, because it's what we live in, what we move in. And that place where God is indwelling in us, that place that we can go to, where we commune with God, that place we go to where we ask for guidance and assurance and support, that place we go to where we get all wisdom, all power, all understanding inside of us. Not outside of here with people trying to make sure we're all safe, but in here knowing who indeed makes us all safe. And then to know that the Spirit of God is with us each and every moment, that there is not a moment that we are not in spirit, because it's who we are. It's the core of who we are. So knowing this truth, that we live and move in God, that that is the most secure and safe place that we can ever be, that it is a place that we carry with us all the time because it's who we are. I heard a beautiful song at conference a few years ago that the safest place to be on earth is living in the heart of God. The safest place that we can ever be is living in the heart of God, and we already do. It's where we live. Where we live. This does not mean that bad things might not happen, because we all have free will. We're all co-creators with God, and boy, can we make messes, right? Any mess you see in the world, not created by God, but by us as co-creators with God. But it does mean that in spite of that, that we have in us everything we need to meet whatever challenge we need. That any time that we're fearful, any time we feel insecure, any time we feel unloved, all we have to do is go inside and sit in that inner sanctuary that is inside of us and to remember the truth. In Psalm 91, it reads, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right side, but they will not come near, because I have made God my safe place. And so my prayer for all of us is that whatever's going on in the world, whatever's going on in the country, whatever's going on in our personal life, to remember that truth. that we have a spiritual kit that we carry with us all the time. And so now to go back to where we opened. Where is the safest place to be? In church, right? And where is our church? Our own personal church. It's right here, right? The safest place to be. The safest place. So knowing that truth and the words that we affirm each and every Sunday at Unity churches all over the world, affirming the presence and power of God, let us do that together. That there is only one presence and one power. Together? There is only one presence and one power in the universe and in my room. God the good, omnipotent.